which I'm really excited about. So we'll just pray for Ruth and then listen to what she has to say. Yes, Father, we thank you so much for Ruth. We thank you for all that she brings to church life, even in the short time that she's been with us. Father, we thank you for her enthusiasm and just her passion for you, Jesus. And we just pray that you would give her a real peace as she delivers the message this evening to this intimidating crowd. And that we would just be really open to receive what she has to bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Okay, so we're doing a series at the moment here at Mariners on our values. Last week, Tim spoke about faith, and that was a great talk. It will be on the Mariners website if it's not up there already. And I'm speaking about joy tonight. And just as a side note, when I was preparing for this talk, I found the whole experience really humbling. I've grown up in church, and I was thinking about it, and I've probably listened to well over 1,000 preachers and never had to prepare a talk myself. And I think I've really taken for granted how much time people invest in, you know, reading the Bible, listening to God, praying, assembling it, practicing it. So I'm just really thankful for anyone who's ever preached to me or talked to me or, you know, delivered a talk to God's family, because it is, you know, such a privilege, but also something that takes quite a lot of time. So, yeah, just thought I'd throw that one out there. So firstly, I'm going to explore about what joy really is and how joy relates to happiness, hope, and suffering. And then I'm going to look at ways we can experience more joy in our lives. So joy can be defined as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. But I think that's a little bit of a tricky definition, because I think it's different from the biblical definition of joy. Happiness and pleasure are fleeting. They're often a product of our circumstances. We're happy if good things are happening to us or around us. I know myself personally, I'm happier when it's sunny outside. I'm happier when I'm in company of friends. I'm happier when things are going well and when I've just generally completed my to-do list. That makes me happy. But the problem with that is that it's quite temporary, really, and that feeling of happiness isn't really the joy I'm talking about. I'd even go so far as to say that the joy I'm talking about can't be found in the things of this world. By that, I mean, although friendships, some family and good weather and tasty food and funny films and new clothes or achieving a goal can make us happy, I don't think they bring us lasting joy. The verb of joy is to rejoice, and Philippians 4 commands us to rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah. And I think joy is something then that we can always possess regardless of our circumstances. It's got to be more than just being happy. Even if we are going through hard times, we can still be joyful. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. So how do we do that? Well, I think to understand joy, you have to understand hope. And Freya gave a great talk about hope, which is on the Mariners website. And I really suggest listening to that one if you haven't heard it. It's really worth your time. And in that talk, Freya said that our hope is in a God who has good plans for us and is not done with us yet. Our destination is guaranteed. So whilst we live in a broken world full of suffering and injustice, we have hope. You only have to turn on the news to see injustice and suffering being played out live in HD. It's awful, and it breaks my heart, and I know it breaks God's too. Whatever heartache I feel about suffering, God feels it more. And this is something that I've really had to work through, because I think the question of suffering is such a big one, and whatever answers we can try and give, they sometimes fall short. But when I was processing all of this with God in worship one day, I just felt this really strong sense of God saying, whatever hurt, whatever pain, whatever feeling you feel towards this, I feel it more. So God understands and God knows and God is there in that suffering. And yet we know God reigns supreme, and one day he will bring justice, healing, and peace. Revelation 21 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We have hope. Our hope is based in the knowledge that whilst we live in a broken and imperfect world, God is in control and he will bring justice. He will create a heaven, a new heaven, and a new earth. So that's the hope globally. For ourselves personally, we know that although we are imperfect people, we know we get things wrong and we mess up. That through Jesus, we can be made perfect. Through his death on the cross, if we admit that we've done wrong, we admit that we need God and we ask him to take the number one spot, then we will be saved, we will be healed, and we'll be transformed. So that process of transformation, it starts the day that we first decide to go God's way, but it ends the day that we see him face to face. So I really want to encourage you now, if you're feeling that good things aren't happening or that you feel like you're trying really hard but you're not getting anywhere, whatever God started in you, whatever good things he started, he will bring through to completion. No one is a lost cause. No one is too far gone. No situation is too difficult for God. God sees you where you are. He sees all of your failings and all of your insecurities and says, I am not done with you yet. We always have hope for ourselves personally and for the world globally. And to make that link then between hope and joy, I would say that everlasting joy arises from that eternal hope we have. Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, put it like this: the joy and peace of believers arise chiefly from their hopes. What is laid out upon them is but little compared to what is laid up for them. Therefore, the more hope they have, the more joy and peace they have. Christians should desire and labor after an abundance of hope. So I think joy is a good feeling which comes deep from within us. It's a natural response to who God is and what he's done with it for us. Since God is always good and our hope is always secure, then we can always be joyful. There is always a reason to rejoice. So it's possible to rejoice in the Lord, always. So joy and suffering then. How does joy fit in with suffering and going through hard times? It is possible to be joyful and suffering at the same time. Although I know that seems counterintuitive. I'm definitely not saying that we should be pretending to be happy, putting on fake smiles. God wants honesty. Being a Christian isn't practicing proper... Being a Christian isn't practicing positive thinking. Also, it's unhealthy to keep our feelings bottled up. It's important for us to express our anger, express our hurt, and express our pain in constructive ways. God wants all of us. He wants to be invited in to our anger and our hurt and our pain. He can help us process our emotions. They don't scare him. Jesus is our perfect example, and he showed his emotions. When he walked into the temple to find the money lenders extorting people, he got angry and he turned over their tables. When his friend Lazarus died, Jesus wept at his bedside. And when Jesus was on the cross in great pain, he suffered and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus didn't deny or smother his feelings. He expressed them in a way which honored God. Joy is not denying or smothering your feelings. True joy is different from simple happiness. It's possible to experience sorrow and joy at the same time. In fact, in James 1, we are told to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. Pure joy. In true joy, true joy is still there in suffering, in pain, in loss, and in hardship. when we suffer, we are often compelled to lean on God. We're really aware of our own limitations, that we just can't do it alone. And as we lean on God, we start to draw closer to him. Suffering can remind us of what's important in life, that things may fall apart, but God will still remain. Suffering can lead us into a place of joy. As we lean on God, we discover more of his beauty, of his character, of his goodness. And that joy, and that discovery produces joy in our soul. Okay, so we know where joy is, we know what joy is, and where joy comes from. I'm just now going to talk about how we can experience more of it in our lives. So the first point I've got here is seek more of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 says that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that means that if the Holy Spirit is working within us, then we'll have joy. John Piper writes, "Joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in his word and in his work. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see the beauty of God. It opens our eyes, giving us something to rejoice in. We can ask for more of the Holy Spirit to help us experience true joy. But we can also live our lives in a way that helps us connect with the Holy Spirit. By that, I mean making good godly choices and giving space for God. Tim Grew spoke the other week at Mariners about dwelling. And in his talk, he described the Holy Spirit like a dove sitting on his shoulder. And I found that a really helpful image when I go through the week and I'm making decisions. It helps me make choices. And I think, will this decision help the dove stay on my shoulder? Will this help me connect with the Holy Spirit? Sometimes I've got it wrong, as we all do. And that's when I take the time to say sorry to God and try and tune in again. Other times I've made a decision to dwell in God's presence. By that I mean I've got up a bit earlier to read the Bible, I've gone for a walk at lunchtime and chatted to God, or I've stuck a worship song on in the car and sung my heart out. It's hard to experience God-given joy if you're not creating space to connect with him. Find your own way of connecting with God and asking for more of the Holy Spirit. And number two is choose to pray. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Worry can kill joy. It's natural to be concerned about things, to think about the future and all the possible outcomes of what's happening to us. But we can often let these thoughts take a hold of us and draw us into a spiral of anxious thoughts. But we're told not to be anxious, but choose to pray in every situation. We present our problems and our concerns to God, and he will give us peace. Note, it doesn't say that God will answer our prayers or give us what we want, but it does say he will give us peace, which goes beyond all understanding. So I had to practice this whilst doing my talk. And it's one of those Bible verses that is so easy to say, but it's quite hard to live by. The amount of times when I was doing this talk, I had to say, okay, I'm not going to worry, I'm just going to pray, not going to worry, just going to pray. And it's almost very easy to sort of put something down and then pick it up again. And you sort of have to come back and you have to put it down again. And it really is, I think, it's a habit. It's a habit that you have to develop. It's not a sort of, you give everything over once and then you're done. It's that daily offloading of, God, it's yours. I trust you, God. You can take it. You'll do a better job than I will anyway. But we have to remind ourselves. So number three is choose to rejoice. although joy doesn't come directly from us, it comes from the Holy Spirit, we are told repeatedly in the Bible to rejoice. We're often commanded to rejoice. We do have a choice. Have you ever come into church in a terrible mood and found that the more you sing about how good God is, the harder it is to fixate on your own issues? Getting lost in the glory of God can bring true joy. By praising God for who he is and what he has done, we harness that hope we have in him. In his book, The Unquenchable Worshipper, Matt Redman writes, "Every day we have a choice between a path of bitterness and complaint or a path of contentment and praise. Bitterness dampens and eventually destroys love for God. It eats away at the statement, God is love, and tells us he is not faithful. But contentment does the opposite. It fuels the heart with endless reasons to praise God." I really love that, so I'm just going to read that once more. "Every day we have a choice between a path of bitterness and complaint or a path of contentment and praise. Bitterness dampens and eventually destroys love for God. It eats away at the statement, God is love, and tells us he is not faithful. But contentment does the opposite. It fuels the heart with endless reasons to praise God." So Matt Redman wrote that one before he had written his 10,000 reasons. So endless reasons to praise God. So it's that idea that those endless reasons, that's the heart of joy. That's where it comes from. When we understand that hope that we have, and we have the Holy Spirit at work in us, that's where true joy comes from. So, coming into land, we all have access to everlasting joy. It's independent of your circumstances. It's great news, because it means everyone here can walk out of this church with an everlasting joy, one that the world can never take away. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. God's happiness and God's joy is where we find our strength for life. It's our fuel to face the pain, the trials. It helps us with work, with missions, with friends, with family, with everything. The strength we need can be found in God's joy. And not only that, joy is contagious. Have you ever been around a person who's full of God's joy? And you can just see it, you know, it overflows out of them. And they're infectious people. You want to be around them because they make you laugh, they make you smile, because they can see some of what God can see. You know, I was preparing this talk, and when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about, do I see God as a happy God? And that challenged me a little bit, like, because is God happy? I think he is, but often we don't think about that, the fact that God is happy, God delights in us, and God wants us to be happy too, and God wants us to experience that joy. And as we show that, and as we live that out, then that makes us different. People will say, well, how do you keep going? How can you still be helping people? How can you still be serving people when you've got this situation in your life? Well, it's not denying that you're going through something different or something difficult. And it's not denying that you're in a hard time. Instead, it's saying, okay, my situation is bad, but my hope is in God. My future is secure, and I have joy that gives me strength to keep going. So I'd like to encourage you to think about if anything from this message has stuck out for you. What will you do to encourage genuine joy? Will you seek more of the Holy Spirit? Will you choose to pray instead of worry? Will you choose the path of praise over the path of bitterness? So that's all of me done. but there will be a prayer team up. So if there's anything that I've said that's resonated with you, or anything that God's been speaking to you about in the worship, or even if there's anything that you've got going on in the week, I just really would like to encourage you to come up and pray.